Hello everyone, this is Cecile Goward, editor of Boat US. I recently chatted with Owen Perry, the owner of the 50-meter, 164-foot crescent yacht called Danceta Bay. The boat is named after a resort in Mexico near Laredo in Baja California. I was there a few weeks back. It's an amazing place, beautiful and remote. You can see snake tracks on the sand in the morning if you pay attention. Pods of dolphins and blue-footed buoys. The amazing 18-hole DPT golf course is as fun as it is beautiful. Owen Perry had a vision when he came across this large tract of land, and he has been busy turning it into reality, as he did before in Puerto Vallarta and Cabo. Please join us for this fascinating chat. Hello, Owen. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Good. Well, thanks for joining me on this chat today. I think you are on board your boat, which is called Danceta Bay.
Yes. Yes. It's a 50-meter, 164. Brand new.
Brand new. Very nice. I went to see it in Vancouver a couple of years ago.
Yes.
So last time we spoke, actually, you told me you had named the boat after a resort in Mexico. And of course, I thought, okay, great. And I looked at pictures and things. But until I had a chance to go there at your invitation, thank you very much. I had no idea what was there. It's quite amazing.
Well, thank you so much. It's just, we try and care about our guests when they come. I think that's what shines through the most is we do care. You know, everybody who comes in there and into our resort area, we want them to feel like we care that they're there and we care that they have a great experience.
Yeah. Well, I certainly felt that. I did feel very well cared for. People are extremely friendly there as well.
Well, we really train for that. We really, really do. It's part of our goals is to really give people a great experience. And also the people who work with us, we let them know, it says, hey, you know, if our guests are happy, you know, they're going to come back and, you know, everybody gets, you know, a stable jobs and that's how we work.
Yeah. So I'm curious, did you have a chance to bring the boat down there yet?
Yes, it was the first season this year because, you know, last summer, well, it was just finding a good crew, you know. It takes a while to get a crew together these days. But I do, and I was in Cabo because I also developed 4 resorts in Cabo.
Right.
Right in the bay. So we were anchored there for a while. Then we went up to Laredo because I love that cruise. That's how I discovered Laredo is the cruise from Cabo all the way up to the islands there, the islands of Laredo.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful experience, you know, because you really don't see anybody. And, you know, the dolphins keep you entertained. And it's the beauty of some of the bays that you anchor in overnight. It's just an amazing experience.
It is beautiful. As part of our trip, you had arranged for a boat trip on one of the boats that take people who vacation there on tours of the marine park.
Yeah.
And we had a very great captain and we came across a pod of, I want to say, at least 100 dolphins.
Yeah, yeah.
It was incredible.
We in their natural showmen, you know, we call it SeaWorld. We call it SeaWorld without the pens, you know. Because the dolphins would come and start flipping by your boat, you know. They'll come up next to your boat and say hello, you know. They're very entertaining.
Yeah, very much so. We watched them for quite some time. It was amazing. How long does that cruise take from down south to Laredo?
Well, it depends. I usually like to take 4 or 5 days because, you know, going up the coast from Cabo or going up the coast on the Sea of Cortez side, there's quite a few bays to go in and stop. And around the Horn there, you have Espiritu Island, which you have a big seal colony at the end. And it's the best diving anywhere over there. So it depends on what you want to do. If you want to go straight up, you can make it in a day and a half.
Easy. Yeah.
But if you really want to experience the beauty of the Baja and what it really has to offer, you know, I would take 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, it's amazing. I did see a few big boats there, not a whole lot of them, but 2 or 3 between the marina, I guess, which is not far from Don Sante Bay or the resort at the islands of Loreto, and a couple of them cruising. So
yeah, we're still a new destination. You know, we were getting some of the bigger yachts, like Steven Spielberg's been there quite a few times. He even brought the Obamas there a couple of years ago. And Mark Zuckerberg was just there in his two yachts.
Really? Wow.
Yes, yes. He has. They're even here in San Diego right now. So we're getting, you know, some good size. You know, it's a double-edged thing, you know, because the more we talk about it, the more popular it becomes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really a beautiful place. And I don't think there's any place you can go within 2-hour flight of L.A. and have a completely different experience, you know?
No kidding. When we landed, I was sort of thinking, what planet are we on? First of all, the airport is quite small, which is really a lovely thing because you're in and out and that's it. Then driving on the road, we must have seen 3 cars.
Yes.
Bit of a change from South Florida, I have to say.
Yes. It's called Highway 1, actually. It goes from Alaska all the way down through the U.S. and through the Baja and even crosses over, I think, into Colombia or something like that. It's called Highway 1.
I did not realize it's the same road. Wow.
Yeah, it's Highway 1. Yes.
So actually, I wanted to tell you, as I walked through the property, listened to people, you know, and got to discover a little bit of the area, I was just thinking, I could not fathom how someone can have a vision like this. You know, we use the word visionary a little bit loosely, I think. But in this case, I can only imagine you coming off. This is a very deserted place, very dry.
Well, I call it where Palm Springs meets the ocean because you have these majestic mountains,
right.
The Gigantes.
Yes.
And I think that, and then you have this beautiful turquoise ocean with all of these islands in front, you know?
Yes.
And it's quite, you know, it's quite the view, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But like to go from there saying, well, this is beautiful, to thinking, okay, so we're going to have this multi-service resort with a 18-hole golf course, which is absolutely spectacular. I'm not into golfing, but I think I would definitely try to learn
here. It's very popular. And, you know, just to give you a quick update of who I am, you know, I grew up in the East Coast in the smallest state in the country, Rhode Island, you know. my father was in the military, in the Navy, with 6 kids, so we never really took a vacation. And at 19, I decided I needed some adventure in life, so I went to Hawaii, into Waikiki, and started this promotional job and got into real estate, got into fractional ownership, you know, with the Hilton brand and all that stuff. And then I got a job offer to go to Puerto Vallarta. I was 24 years old, and I says, well, I'm not going to go there. And a friend of mine went, he goes, oh, and you got to go there. They need somebody like you, because I was more on the marketing side. And so I went to Puerto Vallarta and I just saw how beautiful it was and how tourism was just starting, you know. And so I never left. And so yes. We did resorts in Puerto Vallarta. Then I moved to Cabo in 1998, I guess. And there was really nothing there either. And so being a developer now of resorts and learning how to do it in a very good way. I was traveling through Baja one time at first. I would bought a car in San Diego and drove Highway 1 all the way down.
Oh, you
did? It's a nice trip. It's really actually a trip. Just don't watch a Quentin Tarantino movie before you go. It's like, it's a little scary at night. But other than that, and then, you know, I just remembered, you know, how Loreto was beautiful compared to, you know, and I just kept driving. And then a couple of years later, I was with a friend. We went on the boat cruise up there in that area. And I just saw the bay that it was absolutely nothing there.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, this place is magnificent. If somebody ever built a resort here, you know, people would love it, you know?
Yeah.
So a couple of years later, I go up there on vacation and I stay at the Whalers Inn. It was in Loreto Bay at the time.
Yeah. Well, that's the other development that took forever to get off the ground, from what I hear.
Well, it wasn't that. It was Fauna Tour Development. Fauna Tour was the original government agency that created tourism in Mexico in the 70s. They created Cancun.
Oh, okay.
outside of Acapulco, Nuevo Vallarta and Puerto Vallarta, Los Cabos, they developed, and they also developed Loreto at the same time.
Ah, okay.
It's just Loreto never took off like the rest of the places. But anyway, it had all the infrastructure that I saw that you need for tourism, because it did have an airport. The airport that was there was just a palapa building at the time.
Can imagine, yes.
So now at least it's a building. It's pretty good. We get flights all the time now from everywhere.
Yeah.
But it was, and then I found this realtor, and I found this bay, and I just looked at it, and it was completely undeveloped. And I said, my gosh, if we ever built a resort here, people would really like it.
Yeah.
And so we did.
But I mean, like the difficulties, right? There was no running water there, obviously, and no electricity,
Baja is the least developed, you know, if I look at my hand and Baja is like your pinky, right?
Right.
And like, look at Florida maybe 40 or 50 years ago, you know, that's Baja. Yeah. And what really stopped the Baja from growing quick was there's no water. There's really, it's a deserty, you see cactus everywhere.
Yes.
But they came up with desal plants, you know, like about 30 years ago. And even in Cabo, we had to have desalinization plants if you wanted to do a resort. So the first one was huge, you know, and we did really well with it. You get the wells, the extraction well and the discharge well. And, you know, it's a reverse osmosis. So it's not chemically done. It's with filters. So it's environmentally friendly.
Kind of like on the boats.
They're environmentally neutral. Same ones that are on the boats, you know? Reverse osmosis system, but a lot bigger. And now the technology is great. I have four of them in Loreto.
Wow, yeah. And then the electricity, was there anything there? Or did you have to get power?
Well, we went and met with the CFE in Mexico City. And we told them we were going to do this development. And the director of the CFE surprised us. And he says, well, okay, we will get you electricity. You'll have it up to your door, up to your property in 3 months.
Wow.
Yes. And 30 days later, they started putting the poles along the highway. And so we got a delivery, and we, you know, we didn't have to pay them anything. It was, they said, we want this area to grow. We want more jobs. And it was more like a government plan. So it was a great benefit for us. But, you know, I like Loreto because, like, not only the islands, but, you know, Loreto goes back to 1680.
I found out,
The Spanish king at the time, Spain was a very Catholic, very religious country at the time. And he sent the Jesuits on a cruise, on, you know, like the sailboats all the way around, you know, South America, all the way up to colonize the island of California. They thought California was an island. So the first place they settled was in Loreto. They called it Loreto after their patron saint, La Nuestra Señora de Loreto, which is in northern Italy.
Really?
Yes. And so it's a very interesting story. So I really got captivated by the story. And it has a great history. So I just, you know, and that's where the missions start. Like on the West Coast, you have San Juan Capistrano, all these missions, basically all the way up to Alaska. The first mission was started in Loreto.
Amazing. And it's still there.
Yeah. No, and not only that, it has an interesting story. Because I had my son baptized there because I just thought the story was unique. So, the church was made out of coral because that's the only bricks they could find at the time. So the church, the basic mission was made out of this coral tile, basically. And and then in something like the early, because Loreto was the capital of Baja. And then a big storm came and an earthquake and they moved the capital to La Paz. So the church got damaged. So the Catholic Church sent this priest in the late 50s to go revitalize the church again. And at that time, Mexico started the lottery system where they had one winner for the entire country. Wow. And somehow this priest got a ticket and it was the winning ticket. So he spent all the money redoing the church. So you can see the difference of when the coral ended and the real brick started. And he put a clock on it, you know, and it's an incredible story. So I'm really motivated by stories like that.
Yeah. Well, evidently, because so you have this resort now. Obviously, the hospitality hotel part is already there, established. When did that open?
It was about 12 years ago that we opened up one phase. You know, life for me has been, plan E. You know, I keep working until it starts succeeding. And when I started doing Loretto, that was when the great financial crisis started. Everything was shutting down. The banks, I don't know if you remember the time, like everybody was going bankrupt, the banks were going bankrupt. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't do this now. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in this world, right? And being in Baja for many years and doing construction, I had all of these construction guys coming up to me and says, oh, and we will work for you for free. You know, just let us keep our business together. You know, so I calculated it and I would save about 30-40% if I built it now during this great, great financial crisis. And so I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. And then I decided, you know, if the world's going to come back again, you know, or the money's going to be worthless and all the, so I said, okay, let's do it.
Wow.
So I built this resort there in the middle of nowhere. All my friends thought I was crazy.
I can see that.
In the worst financial crisis in history. And I opened it up, basically right when the Great Recession was over. So it was around 2011, something like 2012.
Yes. Yeah, amazing. For people who haven't been there, I mean, really, it is in the middle of nowhere. It really is. You drive, there's this big mountains, beautiful Rocky Mountains, not very much greener.
Well, it's called the Gigantes, eh? That's why I call it Palm Springs.
Yes.
It has the same kind of, landscape as Palm Springs. You have cactus, you have these brown mountains, the ranges, and it's a very unique place.
Yes, absolutely. So when did you decide to put a golf course there? Right away?
I've always been on the marketing side of businesses. So I look at demographics, and who are my demographics there? And I look at, what Cabo was. Cabo started out as a small fishing village. You know, when I started there was only 8,000 people living there. Now there's 200. Now there's 250,000.
Oh, my gosh.
In 25 years, right?
Wow.
And what changed it from a fishing village into the golf mecca it is right now. There's 25 golf courses in Mexico from every popular architect in the world that's ever done a golf course. So there's 25 now. And what I saw working in the resorts in Cabo is I saw the change over of the clients that were coming to Cabo from the fisherman to the golfer. You know, the golfer was a more professional, educated, bring their families on vacation with them, with kids, and golf was a part of their vacation, And as a golfer myself, I wanted to bring that demographic to Loreto because I thought the views and the scenery, it would be a unique experience and I could get more occupancy in the resorts, in the resort there with the golfer because we have an all-suite resort. You know, we have kitchenettes, all that stuff, because chances are you're not going to leave Loreto when you get there. You know, you pop the resort, So we offer a lot of services. So I never did a golf course before, So you say it was just, it was after the Great Recession kind of thing when I had the resort open and we looked at, doing the golf course. And I started playing golf, more golf myself. And golf was kind of in a decline at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was really in a decline. And when I looked at what was happening is all these developers built these golf courses that were so hard that, that they would have a PGA tour there one day. But 98% of your clients, play golf one or two times a month, on a friendly visit, stuff like that. So if you went to a golf course and you had the worst time of your life, would you go back?
No, probably not.
No. And that's what was happening to the game of golf. It gets so hard that the average golfer would go and play golf and get so disgusted with it, you know, they wouldn't go back. Because if you had a really bad experience, right, why would you go back?
Yeah.
So that's what we tried to do. And I interviewed a few. I went to a few architects and talked to them. And a lot of them were very egotistical, like, hey, you're going to do it our way. We're not going to be involved. And I go, okay, well, hey. So I settled, you know, I met with Rhys Jones.
Yeah.
And we sat down and talked. We met in Cabo. And we said, he goes, oh, and I feel the exact same way you do. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Let's make a friendly golf course that the average player could go in and have a great time. I said, Rhys, that's our business plan. That's our goal. And he was just such an amazing guy to work with, because it wasn't, you know, to me, I think the true professionals leave their egos at home, you know, and they come to work trying to do the best job they can. And Rhys is like that. You know, my experience with him was amazing, because I told him, you know, we wanted to keep it as natural as possible.
Oh, and it is beautiful.
Because of the scenery.
Well,
some of these golf, I went to see one golf course in Las Vegas. They spent $100 million on it.
$100 million. On a golf course.
On a golf course.
Wow.
And, well, they blew it up. You know, they blew up everything, you know? And to me, like, you look at other golf courses in Las Vegas, they're so much nicer because they're more natural, you know?
Right.
So we wanted to keep the natural essence of Baja and the natural beauty of our property. And Rhys agreed also. He goes, I agree with you. You know, let's do it this way. And it was a very pleasurable experience for me. Really, really pleasurable, because it's a work of art in the end. You know, a golf course is more of a work of art. You know, it creates its own personality, you know. And I think that's what we were very successful at doing.
Yeah, and it's really meticulously maintained. Oh my gosh, the greens are so beautiful, and the plants, everything is just beautiful, and a lot of cactus, obviously. But of course, you were talking about easy, but there is one hole that looks a little challenging. And I think that's the one that everybody knows Don Sante Bay for now, right? So it's hole 17.
It's hole 17, and it wasn't originally on the plans, but we were building a road up that area because eventually there's going to be houses up there and stuff like that. And I would stay on this property. I had a yacht, like an 88-foot yacht, and I would anchor in the bay for like 2 or 3 years and just get the feel of the bay. Every property, you know, if you're a developer, every property in Ann has its own personality, you know? And if you understand what it is, when the sun rises, where it sets, the wind, all this other stuff, you can really design a piece of property that complements everything, right? So I would hike all over the property. Me and my daughter, my oldest daughter graduated high school, we hiked everywhere. Anyway, there was this one little piece of land out sticking outside, and the view along the islands and the Sea of Cortez was just magical. So, you know, Rhys came and I said, Rhys, what do you think about doing a par 3 here? And the guy who was, this guy, Randy Ruth, who was doing the construction for us, I said, Randy, could we do? He goes, yeah. It's, you know, we could do it. And so Rhys is like with his hand like this, you know, you know, and after a couple of minutes, he goes, Owen, if we do this hole, if you agree to the extra expense, it will be one of the best holes in the world of golf. Rhys, come on, that's a little
ambitious,
dramatic, isn't it?
Yes.
He goes, no, Owen, if you do this, it will be one of the nicer holes in the world of golf. And I said, great, let's do it.
So for people who haven't been there, so you kind of have to position yourself in such a way and hit the ball across the canyon onto this area and hope it doesn't roll up on the other side.
Well, some of the best golf holes in the world of golf are par 3s.
Yeah.
Because they're the most challenging courses to holes to play, especially if there's a little wind, or especially if it's downhill, you know, things like that. So par 3s, we have a collection. I think we have 4 par 3s that Rhys calls one of the best golf courses of par 3s. We have 4 of them. And between all 4 of them, it's a unique experience.
So you haven't hosted tournaments there yet, but you may be planning to someday?
Well, it's a business, you know. Number one, it's a business, and we always run it as a business. And in Loreto, we're the only resort there. I mean, the downtown Loreto has a couple of 2 or 3 star hotels.
Yes.
But we're in the middle of absolutely nowhere, you know. And what we want to do is be financially smart, you know, because now a golf tournament is very expensive. You know, you're talking about $10 million between the prize money for the golfers, all the work that you have to do, the volunteers, all this other stuff. So it just hasn't been a possibility for us yet.
Yeah.
But the very interesting story that happened to us is I did do a big weekend of the grand opening when we opened up the golf course. I had Don Felder of the Eagles come and play at a concert. he's a really good guy. And, you know, I had Byron Scott of the Lakers, who was our personality, you know. So we had three days. I invited probably about 40 golf writers and sports writers for the whole weekend. We had a great show. It really came out great. And about 2 months later, I get an email from the PGA of the U.S.
Right.
Now, the PGA is the dominating, you know.
Right.
It's like the NBA, you know. Right. They run all the golf courses, I mean, the tournaments and everything like that. And their signature courses are called TPC, the Players Course. And that's their branded golf course. And it's like the Cartier brand of golf courses. And so they asked me if they can come down and talk to me about being a TPC course. And if you, you know, like you say, that brand is, you can't ask them, they got to ask you, you know, it's that kind of relationship. So when they came down, we worked out a deal because they really loved my golf course. And they said, it's very unique. We think it's going to have a great future and we would like to be a part of it. Okay, wow. Well, great. So we signed a 3-year contract back then. We just did a 5-year contract in January.
Oh, wow.
We're the only TPC course in all of Mexico, and one of the few outside TPC courses in the world.
Wow! And I saw that you were named the best golf in Mexico by someone recently.
Well, the World Travel Awards is a worldwide award system, and they have them in all countries all around the world. They have different places where they do, and I don't know how we got nominated in the beginning, but we've probably won about 5 or 6 years in a row now.
Wow.
You know, the best golf course in Mexico, the best resort in Mexico. So I think this year we're up for 5 different awards.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, actually, when you walk into the lobby, which is very nice, there was a display of a number of awards there, I saw. So the resort is multi-use. So, of course, you have, as we said, the resort with the hotel, with the suites, the spa, the golf course, the pools are wonderful. And then there's a very important real estate component. And as far as I understand it, you built the first house there for yourself.
Yes. Like you say, we're a 6,000 acre master plan community.
6,000 acres. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And we have the whole bay and even behind the bay. And, you know, I look at what Cabo is doing right now with Chileno Bay, El Dorado, Maravilla, Montage. These developments are hugely popular.
Yeah.
I mean, El Dorado, a golf membership is $500,000.
Okay.
A condo is about $14 million. And they've been sold out for a few years now.
Wow.
And so I look at these developments and Loreto offers a better package than Cabo does as far as what things, activities you can do. You know, Cabo, the ocean is kind of rough. I mean, it's a beautiful view.
Yeah.
But to go out there on a boat, you know, it's not the best experience. And, you know, Loreto, Jacques Cousteau helped New Mexico to create it, one of the largest sea parks in the world. It's 600.
Yes. It's wonderful.
So it doesn't allow any commercial fishing. And it's a very, we had to go through so many environmental studies to get permits. And we complied to all of them, because we want to be part of the future of Loreto and keep it environmentally protected.
Yeah.
So we put a lot of effort into that. So you can do sports fishing, but, you know, I mean,
one of the most experienced, best experience I've ever had over there was camping on one of the islands overnight.
Oh, which one?
Oh my, and right in front of us, Dan Santé.
Oh, Dan Santé. Wow.
Yeah. And you know, there's no light pollution. So you got, the stars are, you know, incredible. You know, you just see, anyways, one of the most nicest experience I've had, even better than Hawaii.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. It's very dark there because, of course, there's not many lights.
There's no light. And yeah. even in what we did in our development, because, you know, you stare at the people come down and they haven't seen the stars in years because right. Where they live.
They're still, so much there. They're still there.
Wow, you know, and you just get into it. And so we do all down lighting.
Yeah.
We don't light the trees at night. We don't do anything like that. We kind of keep it dark. And like I say, this kind of combination really create a unique experience. And now, you know, we're very, very successful. The resort is packed every week now. And we keep getting great reviews, you know, because now sometimes the way the world works is, you know, people are going to come thinking there's no way it's as good as they say it is. There's absolutely no way, you know, no way, you know, this, you know, and then they come and they experience it for a week or golf and they go, oh my gosh, this is the best experience I've had. So we're doing real estate. We have about 80 home lots that we're starting now. And we're creating an owner's community there where they'll have a beachfront activity center just for them to enjoy, you know, because having your own kayak or stuff like that there, you know, you can go out there and just enjoy life.
Right.
We call it a new experience. You know?
Yeah. I can imagine. It's amazing. And then if people don't want to drive, they can take a helicopter from wherever.
Well, you know, being in Hawaii and seeing, you know, and the beauty of the islands, you know, one of the best ways to take a tour is with a helicopter. It's environmentally friendly. We don't, you know, do anything weird, but between, it's, I just can't explain the experience because, you know, the Baja is like this size. So, you know, you can take a helicopter from one side to the other side. The other side of us is called Mag Bay, Magdalena Bay.
Oh, yes.
And that's where the gray whales go and mate, because now that we on the Baja, where we are at, we have the blue whales. And I think this year there were hundreds of them. Wow. I mean, I've never seen so many whales in my life. But on the other side of the Baja, you have Magdalena Bay with the gray whales. And it's just, and there's nobody around, you know, it's an amazing experience. So yes, we do have the helicopter tours. We're starting them full time in October. And we're going to do like about a 30, 45 minute island tour and different tours, you know, that people can really come and enjoy. And so we're very excited about adding that new activity there.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about the homes. I saw a couple of them, all gorgeous. Who comes by property there? I mean, not names, but like who does it attract?
Basically, we're West Coast. We're West Coast, you know. Most of our tourism or people come are from, you know, LA, or what we have is we have Alaska Airlines that flies every day out of Los Angeles and two times a week out of San Francisco. American Airlines flies almost every day out of Phoenix.
Right.
And they just started a flight this year out of Houston in Texas.
Wow. Okay.
Because if you look at the demographics of Cabo, you know, you have no idea how many people from Texas live in Cabo.
Really?
Yes, because, you know, you get heat in the summertime, but you don't get the humidity
They
do in Texas, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the same demographics of Cabo we're experiencing in Loreto.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. Huh. And we have about 80 lots. We have about 80 home lots. We've sold about 35 now. And we just finally got all the permits and everything for titles and things like that. I am an American, you know, so I understand, you know, concerns that Americans have about buying in Mexico.
Yeah. And
we understand. We understand. We're trying to be professional and we go out of our way to make sure our clients are very well protected. Because we did a resort, a full ownership resort in Cabo, and resort ownership, we call it, and Villa La Estancia in Cabo, which is basically sold out now. It's 165 condominiums. And we've had great success with it, but we understand, you know, everybody's concerns about owning in Mexico. And, you know, Mexico is no different than buying a house in Florida. You know, you have your title search, you have your escrow. You know, it's when you don't do those things is when you can get into trouble.
Yeah.
You know,
sure. Yeah.
When you don't follow the traditional ways of buying real estate.
I forget, you picked an architect who is from California, I think. Forget his name.
No, he's from Tucson, Arizona.
Oh, is he from Tucson? Okay.
Yes.
And so he specializes in building homes in deserts, basically, or desert environments.
Well, we looked at a lot of different architecture. You know, because if you go to you know, like you say, some resorts are Italian villas, some are, you know, mansions and, you know, modern Mexican, you know. So we looked at what, you know, because I would say, like you say, Sedona, Arizona
is a lot like what Laredo is, you know, the mountains and stuff like that. So we looked at, you know, the mountain houses of Arizona because it really hit, we have the same views.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
Except we're in the ocean.
Right.
Yeah, islands in front of it. So we really liked the houses that had a lot of glass.
Yeah.
You know, so you could really have the full views. And that's why we ended up with Kevin. And he did a great job. So we're probably going to be building this year for clients about 15 houses that have already approved. And we're going to start building a couple of our own for full price sales because some people don't want to build a house in Mexico. You know, they don't want to go through the challenges of it, even though we make it a very friendly experience. But it's ready to, I think now we have all of the infrastructure done all the way out to the highway. And so you could come to our property and see the quality of it. And it's the same quality of a development as you'll find any place in the world today. And we're very proud of that. And we put that effort into it because that's the product that we want to offer, you know, and the experience we want to offer.
You built yourself a home there as well, didn't you?
Well, I lived on the resort for about 6 years, 7 years, and then it got too much. it's hard to have a day off when you live above your work, your office.
Yeah, I imagine so. About, you know.
And I did it for years because, you know, as an owner, you create the standard of quality, you know, and I have a really nice way of talking, you know, training our workers, you know, to look up, you know, look at people in the eyes and say good morning, buenos dias, something like that. So that's part of our personality. And we also had a business plan for Laredo is we wanted to be like a cruise ship, you know. I mean, if you're on a cruise ship, right, and the food is no good or there's no entertainment, what are you going to do? You can't get off the cruise ship, right? And kind of Laredo, where we're at, is kind of the same thing. Yeah, some people go out at night, but it's, you know, a 30-minute drive into town and back.
Right, yeah.
So we have shows almost every night, you know. It's amazing. Our regular employees are so talented. You know, we find all of these talented people working for us, dancers. And so we do almost shows every night. The restaurants, I have 2 Michelin 3-star chefs
amazing.
Working at the resort.
Yeah.
And there's only, you know, 2 Michelin 3-star chefs in one resort, you know, and they love it there. They don't want to leave, you know. So I think we've really done a good job. So when you go there, you're going to have a great experience for dinner. You know, we have the Italian restaurants. And I think when you put it all together, you know, that's what's creating our success today.
It's a very interesting place.
And even if you don't play golf,
yeah.
You can actually go out and have a fun day because it's not an over-challenging course.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And also there's hiking there. I took a trail on your property and it's just amazing. Beautiful. Incredible.
And then you can go to the spa after and get a great massage. You know?
Absolutely. Yes, it's a lovely spa. Lots of nice water experiences and yeah, very relaxing. And then, of course, you can go boating, which obviously is, for me, the best activity possible there.
Yes, it's a unique experience. And what we want to bring is a little catamaran this year with maybe like 40 people on it, 40 passengers, and have a dock inside our bay that we can do, you know, a snorkeling cruise during the day. But one of the things I've experienced having a yacht there is the sunset cruise is just amazing. No, this is just off the chart. So we want to start a sunset tour this year, too. On like a 40-passenger catamaran, you know, keep it natural.
Yeah.
You know, and allow and have that too this year. That's one of our goals.
Do you work closely with Puerto Escondido, the marina down up or down, I forget, up the road?
Yeah, Puerto Escondido was a Fauna Tour built marina. Like I'm saying, Fauna Tour came in.
Okay.
They did, you know, in there's a family from Guadalajara that bought it from them about, 7 or 8 years ago. And now it's a first class run marina. They have all the services there. They've done a very good job. So now they can handle a lot of different size boats, you know. So it's a first rate marina like you would find any marina anywhere now. Yeah. They've done a very good job. Yeah.
Yeah, I went there, just stopped in, and they had put in brand new docks, extra docks, and there's all kinds of stuff going on there, shops and all the services that you can really need.
Yes.
And I was surprised because I had posted a picture of the marina from the air. You can see it, obviously, very clearly. And a couple of my friends, oh, I loved it when I was a captain there and so forth. And I'm like, you knew about this place? It's amazing. I guess there's a whole world out there of people who actually know the Sea of Cortez as a yachty destination, which I didn't realize that many people knew about it.
It's still very exclusive, you know. Yeah. It's still very, very exclusive destination.
Do you really expect it to take off the way Cabos did, or?
You know,
or you must be conflicted about it because it's such a beautiful, secluded place.
Yes, but you know, being working in Hawaii and seeing tourism there, you know, even Maui, how Maui grew. And seeing how Puerto Vallarta grew and then Cabo. Yes, I do believe Loreto is a very unique experience like Hawaii or Puerto Vallarta or Cabo. So yes, it's going to grow. What's different in Loreto is they do have elevated environmental laws. And, you know, some people think, well, you know, Mexico, I don't have to follow those rules. But what you find is, the environmental groups have attorney firms throughout Mexico that review every application and make sure that people comply with the environmental rules, which we support. We like that a lot. And it's not very difficult. In the area of Loreto, the environmentalists actually want some tourism because it's a low impact business environmentally. And you got to give the fishermen a job, you know, and their families a job.
Yeah.
Because you can't kick them out from fishing reefs and stuff like that, you know, because they're supporting their families and their communities. So what we have now is we have close to 800 full-time workers now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. I spoke with one of them who was from the village at the end of the beach called Ensenada Blanca, I think.
Yes.
And he came from a family of fishermen. That's what he was doing. He was a fisherman and diver. And now he works at the resort and he quite like it. The changes have been amazing for them too. He said up to 10 years ago they didn't have any way of making it or having electricity. They only had solar panels.
Right. Yeah, we brought in, you know, yes, we brought in electricity and the town benefited of it. Well, and it was so funny to me, the first thing that I saw pop up were TV antennas.
Yeah.
The little TV dishes, you know. Yeah, no, we've done a really good job. We've tried to be really honest about, you know, the environmental, you know, we support it and we built a very sustainable resort that is ecologically friendly, you know, and I like to say the golf course, we've done it in a way that kept it a lot of the terrain natural.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, you don't see this weird thing, you know, and I think that's part of our success because we did keep it natural.
Yeah.
And you feel it when you're playing. You feel it when you're there.
Yeah. I kind of broke the rules and I walk back on the on the cart path early in the morning.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those. Yes, I confess I broke the rules. But it was great because I could see the landscaping and all the cactus and all the natural plants there, which are in great shape because obviously they get a little bit more water than maybe some of the others would. And it just looks gorgeous. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
So what's next for you then?
What's next for me? You know, I try and, you know, I have four children and I now have two grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
And you know what really, you know, I bought a yacht first to develop the property. But then, you know, one night I'm on the back of my boat in the bay, you know, the shooting star was going over. I was listening to some music, having a glass of wine. I said, oh my gosh. So this is my third yacht and I always take the summers off. So this year we're going to be up in the San Juan Islands and, Victoria and all through Desolation Sound. And then all through Alaska, through Juneau and Sitka and, Tracy's Arm, you know. So all that stuff. We're just looking really have a fun summer.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's why I'm on the boat right now. My internet may be perfect, but we're really getting it provisioned to get ready going this week.
Ah, this week. Wow. Okay.
It takes about 7 days to get to. We want to start in Seattle. And the weather pattern on the Pacific coast is hit or miss.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
So first up Seattle, and then you're going towards British Columbia, and Victoria.
Then we go to the San Juans, you know, Roach Harbor. It's the 4th of July there is the most funnest place I've ever been on the 4th of July. Really, it's so much fun. And then go over to, I love Victoria on the island, Vancouver Island.
Yeah.
Victoria is like an old British English town or something like that, because the hotels there are nice, and it's just really a unique place to be for a couple of days. And then we're just going to take off and go through Desolation Sound, you know, the Columbia River area and all that area. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Lots of little islands there as well.
Yeah, there's tons of islands. And no, it's a very unique, beautiful area in the summer. And I've been a couple of times. So after this, you know, with this yacht, I can go out farther places now.
Yeah.
I went before. So, yeah, I'm going to look at where I want to go next, you know. So, but this summer is definitely going to be up in Canada and Alaska.
Wow, sounds nice.
Yes.
And it sounds cooler than Mexico this time of year.
Well, I lived at, you know, I've been living in Cabo for many years, you know, and I probably went through 6 or 7 hurricanes there in the last month. Anyway, so, I have a good team down there now, so, you know, I can take the summers, and we have a good team, so I can not worry about it, you know?
Yeah. It sounds to me you've fully embraced the West Coast of the Americas. Do you ever go back to the Northeast, Rhode Island?
You know, when I lived there, you know, it was through the four seasons and the snow in the wintertime, and, you know, I had to shovel the driveways, you know, and stuff like that. Oh my gosh, you know. And then when I discovered there was places in the world that in February you could wear shorts and a t-shirt, you know, I never went back as far as that goes. But, you know, yes, I go visit. I still have family there. But I really love the weather of the West Coast, you know, especially down south. And, you know, if I ever want to go see snow, I'll go to Park City or something like that and, you know, go for a week and ski, you know, or Vail, you know, and that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Visit winter only.
The four seasons to me fluctuates between 60 degrees and 80 degrees, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, that's great. I'm very thankful for your time. Anything else that we haven't discussed that you're burning to tell us?
No, I think that I appreciate it. Thank you very much. You know, I still, you know, I was in the boat magazine, my yacht.
Ah, yes. Yes.
I was in it in August of 2024. So
that's right.
You know, you guys did a great job on that. So yes, anytime I can help you guys out, let me know.
Well, that sounds great. Well, thank you again, Owen. It's very nice to chat with you.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed this chat, and thank you for listening to the Big Boat Interview. To stay up with the news of the world of super yachting, make sure to subscribe to Boat Briefing. It's a production of Boat International Media.